The Pat Kenny Show
with Mater Private. Trust Ireland's leading private hospitals with locations nationwide, including Dublin, Cork and Limerick.
This is News Talk.
It wouldn't do to be sympathising too much, because that way Paddy might think they were thinking what it was only natural to think, that Moll Gladney was either pregnant or dead, and it was hard to know which one of those was worse. Well, that's the situation we find ourselves in when Moll Gladney goes missing from her home in rural Tipperary in the 1970s Ireland, a home she shares with her parents, Paddy and Kit. And when she turns up 5 years later, the real reason for her disappearance isn't the only truth that is revealed. Donal Ryan is the author of Strange Flowers, his latest novel, following the Gladney family through this turbulent time. And Donal's on the line to tell me more. Donal, good morning and welcome.
Hi, Pat. Thanks a million.
Now, this is a wonderful book, that's all I can say, but I have a difficulty. And the difficulty is, as you probably know, when Moll turns up 5 years later, and that's no secret, that's not a spoiler, but there are things that really turn my head, that surprise me, so I can't really talk about them.
I know, I guess it's a problem, all right, when I'm talking about the book.
So let's set the scene in rural Tipperary in 1970s Ireland. And we have Paddy and Kit living in a house which they do not own. And the situation both socially and culturally that you're looking at in that time.
Yeah, I suppose it's the book starts in the mid-70s. And it's in a village that's, you know, fairly loosely based in my own home village, as kind of all my books and stories are. And it's, you know, the characters are drawn from a milieu that's very familiar to me and people I love, really. And so it's kind of, it starts out, I suppose, it looks like standard rural Irish fare. But really, I was interested in, you know, human connection and family and familial love. And that's what the book is about, really, I suppose.
Now, the character of Moll Gladney, as we get to know her at the beginning, the kind of girl she is, she's not a tearaway.
No, she's not. And I suppose there's a huge chasm between Moll's interior life and what she presents to the world. She's a kind of quiet, observant, prayerful girl. You know, she's kind of, at one stage, her dad's, you know, describes her as a good, good little girl. And they've no idea why she's gone. And I suppose it's kind of revealed incrementally across the book, you know, exactly what was the truth of Moll's life and her situation. And that's something, you know, I'm interested in as a writer, the difference between what we present and who we truly are. I mean, you know, it's impossible for us all to be completely ourselves all the time. But for some people, this can be a tragedy in their lives, you know, the chasm between what's inside and what we show to the world.
Now, this was a time when religion was a dominant force in people's lives. I mean, there was no question but that you would go to Mass on Sunday. And if you didn't, questions would be asked.
Yeah. I mean, this is—it's familiar to nearly everybody, I think, not just in Ireland. You know, I think we kind of lived in a theocracy until fairly recently, in effect, and that was the case in small villages, I suppose, especially where everybody knew everybody else's business. These things would be observed and noted and talked about, and there was no avoiding that, really.
Now, the other element of what's going on in their lives, that Paddy, who's a hard-working man, a simple man in many ways, walks the land regularly. They, himself and the wife, and indeed Moll, they live a beholden life, don't they?
Yeah, they're so-called caretaker farmers, where they work on a farm they don't own. And this is a situation that was fairly... you know, it was fairly widespread in Ireland. It still is, I suppose. People still take care of land for other people. My own grandparents were caretaker farmers, and, you know, for wonderful people, their situation was different to the Gladneys, obviously. But, you know, this kind of presents challenges for Paddy as a man, because, you know, at one point in the book, he's treated very badly by the son of the people for whom he works, and his whole perception of the world changes, you know, because he's kind of in a lovely, comfortable rut in his life. He's got his job as a postman, and he takes care of the land for these people, and his days are very metered and settled and balanced. And, you know, anything that kind of throws that out is going to be very upsetting. And of course, the events that do unfold, you know, just completely change Paddy's universe and his perception of the world and his place in it.
Is the kind of atmosphere that you present for this family very settled in their ways, not well-to-do in any sense, but not threatened until, you know, various events unfold? Was that your own experience of the world, and did that change at any point where you realise it's actually not all idyllic out there?
Yeah. I've spoken about this before, and I feel sometimes almost a little foolish saying it, but I mean, I was so blind to the way the world really worked to the child, because I was... nearly all children, I was so loved and so protected and cosseted. It never occurred to me that my parents weren't wealthy. You know, I mean, we lived in a small house, in a small housing estate, in a small village. And my dad drove a van during the week, and he was a farm labourer at weekends. And my mum worked in a betting office. But I just thought that they were the most incredible people. They are, you know, but it never occurred to me that they were struggling, or that there was any question of, you know, money ever being short, because we were just protected from that. And we lived in a beautiful place. And so the world just seemed to me to be, you know, happiness and fun and laughter. And I guess I was in my mid-teens before I realised, of course, you know, that there was darkness in the world and people didn't, you know, have the same situation I had. And it was kind of a rude awakening. And so I've always been kind of aware of the troubles people have and kind of alive to the, to how people struggle in life. And it's kind of my preoccupation as a writer as well, the dark side of life sometimes. And maybe it's not the best place to be all the time, you know, to be thinking about these things, but they do seem to provide kind of a fertile ground for fiction. Mm.
And yet the writing of this book, you have said in interview, was easy.
It did. It feels that way now. I remember the great novelist and short story writer Mike McCormack saying that he had no recollection of writing his wonderful book Solar Bones, and when he said it I thought that couldn't be true, but I know now it totally is true, because I wrote the first draft of the book very quickly shortly after my father passed away, and I don't really have a great vivid recollection of the process of writing it, but I mean, you know, first drafts and final drafts are often very different creatures, but the first draft did kind of unfold in an almost dreamlike way, and the only vivid memory I have is of writing the very last scene and having a very strong sense of my father's presence in the room and almost hearing his voice saying, "Good man, no, God, you got that just right now." And so I was happy. You know, almost hear him. I was very happy that I had the ending at least right. And it's good. It's a good place to be to have an ending right, because endings are hard.
Mm. Text here says, "Donal Ryan is a 21st century John McGarren." Now, that's at the height of a compliment. I knew John in the sense that I interviewed him several times. I was a great admirer of his work. But I should point out that you are not rooted in 1970s Ireland in this book even. It is dynastic in the broadest sense.
Yeah, it kind of covers three generations, really. Or, you know, it encapsulates three generations of a family. And it moves to the 90s in the middle part. Kind of because I wanted to set a story in the 90s. And the central part of the book was vastly different in its first iteration. But the same things happened and the same people were involved. Because, you know, the 90s were when I kind of came of age myself. And I just remember my memory of the 90s is of the world opening up. And I guess it did, really, because there were such huge advances all of a sudden in technology. And all of a sudden there was the internet and email and all these things that we hadn't had before. And the world just seemed, you know, at once smaller and far more vast. It was a strange, wonderful time in the world, I think. And so I wanted Josh to be the same age in the 90s that I was, so I could really kind of, you know, draw on my own experience for that character of Joshua, my son.
Yeah, and again, I haven't mentioned other characters because I didn't want to do anything. Like if I was having a conversation with you in the pub about this book, there'd be a lot more detail in my questions.
Of course, yeah.
I didn't want to be in any way a spoiler for people, because it is such a wonderful book as it unfolds. I read also that, Donal, you said that you love happy books, but you can't write them.
I've tried. When I write a book that's, you know, about unmitigated happiness, it just seems a little bit contrived and false. And so it's just a kind of a thing I do for myself, really. But, you know, it's funny the way stories tend to kind of unroll themselves. You can make all the notes you want and make all the plans you want, and you can forensically plan out a book chapter by chapter almost, or paragraph by paragraph. But stories tend to kind of assume their own arcs and get their own kind of momentum. And sometimes things will change. And, you know, the awful things that happen to people and the darkness that we have to all contend with in life just seems to close in sometimes, and it's unavoidable. But I do believe that my books are nearly all hopeful. and that, you know, that, and that their book's mainly about love. That's really important to me, that, that there's hope and that, that people are presented, you know, through all the struggles in the best light possible, and that, you know, that the light in the middle of all of us is apparent.
Now, the other string to your bow, Donal, of course, is teaching and mentoring young writers. How have you managed during the restrictions?
Well, we switched over to online teaching at UL. It was a bit of a struggle, but it's seamless enough, because we use Zoom, it's a great platform, but it was okay, to be honest. It's always better, of course, to be in a classroom and to be live and to have people around you, because you can measure the kind of the temperament and the rhythm of a class more easily, but it was fine. I mean, it's for everyone, it's been a huge struggle, so I mean, I can't complain at all. But we're still, you know, the MA is starting now again next week in UL, and so we're back in action again.
Yeah. I presume you did manage to do some writing during the period. Many writers say instead of being free to write because of being free of distraction, it was quite the opposite. There was a sense of captivity that impinged upon the sense of freedom to write.
Absolutely. It's the strangest thing. I really thought at the start, now, okay, if this goes on for a few weeks or months, I'm going to get loads on here because I'm going to be at home. I have no excuse. And we started to all beat ourselves up with the story about Shakespeare writing King Lear when he was quarantined because of the Black Death. And no one did it. But I mean, I did manage to get a bit done, but not half as much as I should have, really. But I got a draft of a novel finished, so I'm happy that that exists anyway, at least.
Yeah, well, it's the beginning of a very long process with editors and rewrites and all the rest of it. So much done and more to do. Donal, I really enjoyed Strange Flowers and I recommend it thoroughly to everyone. It's published by Doubleday. It's available at around $13.99 in bookshops everywhere. And you can get it online if you can't get out to a bookshop. But author Donal Ryan, thank you very much for joining us on the programme today.